Good morning, and thank you for joining our program today. You're listening to Fire Shut Up In My Bones. Please turn to the 63rd chapter of the book of Psalm, and we'll begin our reading in verse number 8. My soul falleth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. We're going to read it again. My soul falleth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. Such a wonderful verse, something that I can attest to. David, who is inspired to write this passage, indeed followed hard after the Lord. The Bible says he danced for the Lord with all his might. The Bible talks about how he wakes up early to seek after the Lord. The Bible talks about how his heart panteth for the Lord in a dry and thirsty land. David followed the Lord with all his might. He gave it 110%. In our life today as Christians, when we get saved, it doesn't mean that all of our problems will go away. However, now we have some divine help to get us through the problems, to endure the problems. You're a Christian now, and you might have to face opposition at work because they know you're a Christian. They'll try to provoke you just to see if you'll cuss. They'll try to provoke you to see if you lose your temper. They know you're a born-again Christian. They know that you at the beginning of your contract that you agreed not to work on Sunday, but they want you to work on Sunday. They want you to show up at a mandatory meeting on a Sunday. They do all kinds of things to thwart you. You might be a born-again Christian, and your girlfriend wants you to not go to church. You need to drop her. You have some friends that are teasing you because you're a Christian. And now you realize and find yourself that standing up for the Lord becomes hard. God calls you to pastor, to preach, and you have some teenagers in your room. You got 10 teenagers that don't seem to care. You're preaching the word of God. All they do is laugh you to scorn. What do you do? And now you find that following after the Lord becomes hard. So I believe this is talking about the effort. And I also believe that sometimes consequences come in our life that make following Christ challenging. But I'm here to tell you that I've experienced this verse in my life, that God upholdeth us. He will uphold us. The word uphold has some very interesting meanings. I'll pick but a few, if I can find it in my notes here. I find it interesting that uphold means to support, to sustain, to keep from falling or slipping. You realize that the Bible commands us to tithe. Now, God will bless you when you tithe, but you might be pushed into a scenario where you might be in a scenario where when you tithe, you have nothing left to buy food, formula for your baby, but you tithe anyway. You are hesitant. You're like, oh man, this is hard. But you have to obey the Lord. But the best part about it is, even though you tithe, the Lord will sustain you. He will support you. And that's what the word uphold means, to support in any state. And that's what God does to us. That's why God said, through David, that's why David said, I am young and now I'm old, yet have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. What I want to talk about today is praise God for his upholding. Praise God for his upholding. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful verse, this wonderful reminder of what you do in our life for those that believe Jesus and ask Jesus to save them, and you come to make your abode within us, Lord, through the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your upholding. I pray that who's ever listening to this program will get blessed out of this, Lord. You know, I'm just a speaker, Lord, but this is your Bible, and I pray that we pay attention to it and find this to be a blessing, Lord. Please, please bless this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want you to notice the first point here, the effort to run close. It says, my soul followeth hard after thee. Now, you know, these talking about the Almighty God. David is saying, my soul followeth hard after thee. He's putting effort into following the Lord. If God says this commandment, David did it. If God rebuked David, David obeyed it. He followed hard after the Lord. He's not like some of these Christians where the preacher preaches against their sin, they get mad. You see, what's that verse? Blessed is the man. I forgot the verse. It's on top of my head. It slipped my mind. Let me see if I can find it. It's Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That was David. He loved God's word, and he obeyed it, and nothing came back to offend him from the word of God. Listen, when you obey the word of God, you're not going to get offended. And when the preacher preaches from the Bible against your sin or something that you're doing, you won't get offended because you love the Bible. So he followed hard after the Lord. Now, sometimes it can be hard to follow the Lord. Why is that? We're living in a sinful world. You have oppositions that make it hard. Finances make it hard. Persecution can make it hard. They that live godly shall suffer persecution, the Bible says. Wicked people can make it hard. You can be at a job site where it's doubled standard. They have this thing out there called toleration. After I investigated that, I find that people that call for toleration tolerate anything under the sun except God's people. And that can make trying to follow the Lord hard because it's an opposition. Look at David. David was just trying to do right, and here's Saul trying to kill him. Okay? But God got him through it. Saul died. The flesh can make it hard. Effort to get sin out of your life can be hard. You got bad influences. Some of you who got saved out of a drunken lifestyle, and that temptation is there. You have the flesh, but you know God will get you through it. He will uphold you. James 4:8 talks about getting sin out of your life so God can come nigh unto us. Living for God can be hard in this wicked world, and it's due to our wicked flesh. Look at Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Hey, we want to go to church, but you worked all the way until 4 a.m. that Sunday morning, and now it's time to go to church, and you're tired. You want to go to church, but your flesh is weak. Okay? But you got to go to church. Romans 7:19. For the good that I willed, I do not, but the evil which I will not, that I do. See, Paul is saying that there is the flesh and the spirit battling each other. We're going to go through this until we get our glorified body from God. Galatians 5:17-26. Well, I'll just read some of this. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye willed. So I'm saying serving God takes effort, the effort to follow close. You have to be in this 110%. I heard a message at my church Wednesday how Jesus is supposed to be our motivation. Do it for the Lord, okay? Not for the applause, not for the praise of man, but for the Lord. Psalm 84:10, for a day in thy court. Now, I mentioned this verse because to me, you got to want this. I find it interesting. Let me stop here. That you have some athletes that want to be the champion. I'll name one, Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson back in the day was the best boxer in history until he got rid of Kevin Rooney. But that's besides the point. If you study Mike Tyson's training regimen, the man will wake up 4 o'clock in the morning. He'll run miles, go back home, eat some breakfast, take a quick nap, wake up again, start doing bag work. That goes back and spars. He sparred every day of the week. The only time when he hardly sparred was 3 days prior to a boxing match. And nevertheless, his training was hard. Why is that? He was in it to win it. He wanted to be champion. He was the youngest champion in boxing history, youngest heavyweight champion of his time, right? Do you want to be victorious in the Christian life? Are you reading your Bible? Are you going to a good church where the pastor loves the Lord and wants to teach you from the Word of God? Are you around good friends? Are you listening to bad music? Okay? If you want to be victorious, you have to be in it to win it. The effort to follow close. It takes effort to follow God. You know, it's amazing. Mankind wants to follow all these celebrities, try to be like these celebrities, these sports celebrities, and do what they do. But when it comes to the things of God, they're following afar off. You put effort in other things, but don't put effort in following God. Psalm 84:10, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Guys, this man is a person that trusted in the Lord. He knows that God is good. And now he can't wait to be among the things of God, to be around God's people, around his word. The Bible talks about, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. A long time ago, when I was a kid, not even a teenager yet, Brother Tom came in with Cherry Coke. Now, honestly, I think it tastes nasty. But I guess it was a big hit, a big interest back in that time. And he asked the question, guys, how do you know this Cherry Coke tastes good? And we all came to the logical conclusion, you got to taste it to find out it's good. Christian, the point is, you have to take the step and obey God's commands, follow God, and you will know and find out that the Lord is indeed good. And that's what Psalm 84:10 is talking about. He can't wait to be in church among God's people. Why is that? Because he took the step to get close to the Lord. So God will reward you, okay? The effort to run close comes with rewards. And that's our second point. The wonderful advantage of following close to God. David, because he followed hard after God, was rewarded with a close relationship to God. You know, sin keeps the Lord from blessing us. You know, we ought not to keep sin in our life. Look at Psalm 63. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. Early will I seek thee. You know, it's important when we wake up, we thank God. We pray to the Lord. We read his Bible at the beginning of our day. First. We ought not to start anything else until we have our devotions with God. It says here, my soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. You see the connection there. How important and necessary God is for our spirit. Psalm 42. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. It's so necessary to follow God. You know, without the Lord, you can do nothing, the Bible says. We are the branches and he's the vine. And without him, you can do nothing. Okay? There's some people out there that try to live a righteous life apart from God. They can't do it until they get saved. God helps them live right, those that are saved. Okay, so now we see that the wonderful advantage of following God close is him drawing close to us. God getting close to his followers. James 4:8. Draw nigh means near. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You got to get sin out of your life. The Bible will not hear those that have that regard iniquity in their hearts. But if you draw nigh unto God, he will draw nigh unto you. You take the step. Go to John 14, and we'll read a few verses from there. John is one of my favorite books of the Bible. It says, if you love me, keep my commandment. Verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Beloved, there are times in my life where I trusted in the Lord, you know, I'm flat broke, and I tithe. And man, whether God used a Christian or a family member to bless me and sustain me, he did. And I saw God work in my life. And I've seen some I would say some miraculous things in my life because I put my trust in him. And I want the same for you, those that are saved, to put your trust in the Lord so the Lord can manifest himself to you. It's a great privilege to see the hand of God move in our life. It's a blessing. Psalm 46, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The Lord helps us. He gets close to us. Psalm 34:17, the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. What are you going through right now in life? The Lord will hear your cry. He delivers you out of your troubles. Point number three, and I believe that's our last point. His divine assistance. His divine assistance. So we follow close after the Lord. We seek him. Reminds me of that verse. If you seek me out, you will find me. Then we see the wonderful reward of following close. And then lastly, his divine assistance. I believe that's the last point. Look how it says in our text verse, thy right hand upholdeth me. Thy right hand upholdeth me. I already explained what upholdeth me, to sustain in any situation. You see, God will help you in to get through any command he gives you. He will uphold you, to sustain you. He helps you. He doesn't leave you on your own. So don't worry about failure. You know, just keep pressing through. Psalm 37:24. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. The Lord gives you strength to follow and obey him. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. By the way, let me stop here. Get the right Bible. Get the King James Bible. Because in these other translations, these perverted texts, it says I can do all things through him which strengthens me. Look, Christ, the anointed one, is the one that strengthens us. Nothing else. And by putting the word, replacing the word Christ with him, it's kind of like, who are they talking about? Get the right Bible. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Beloved, you can be going through any situation right now, through some heartaches, through some trials, but God's grace is sufficient. He pushes us through the hard times. And most gladly, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Christian, remember to just do God's commands with 100% effort. God will uphold you in your efforts. Anything that I ask you to do. Hey, you know, young preacher out there, you know, it seems like none of your kids ever turn out right, but a few. God sees that. You keep pressing on, okay? For those that visit all day Saturday, you know, and only 10 show up, only 5 show up, keep pressing on. Don't let that discourage you. Thank God for the 5 that showed up. And for the rest of those Christians out there that want to get on your case, you're not living for God. You only 8 people came on your bus route. You need to work harder. Hey, you know, you have no control over that. To the preacher out there that you're hardening your congregation because only 10 people showed up on your bus, go jump in a lake. Don't be about numbers. And that sounds harsh, but I don't like that. All that does is discourage Christians. Let me tell you this, you know, before you get mad at me and turn me off. If you're going to say to your to the child of God in your church that he's a failure because only 5 showed up and the man is working hard to sow in and witness to people, then might as well call God a failure. For 120 years, it says in the book of Peter, God waited for the building of the ark. Okay, why is that? Because he wants all to come to repentance. Okay, so he gave him some time, 120 years, while the ark was in building. Okay, before the flood happened. What was Noah doing? He was preaching righteousness to the people. He was telling them to get on the ark. What was God doing? Well, in Genesis chapter 6, it says, My spirit will not always strive with man. What is that talking about? God was trying to compel people to listen to Noah and get on the ark. How many people got saved? How many people on the ark? Eight people out of the world population. So are you going to say God's a failure? Hey, without those eight folks, we wouldn't be in existence right now. Those five people on your bus route, they can, you know, they get saved, called to preach, or even if they don't get called to preach, live for the Lord and bring people to church, witness to people. Praise God. The Bible talks about despise not the little things. So preacher, go easy on your people. If they're faithful to church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and so on, and doing what they are supposed to be doing, don't be hard on them like that. You're going to set them up for discouragement. Thank God that the church I'm in right now is so encouraging. You know, praise God for that. Lord, I thank you for that. Okay, Hebrews 6:10, all right? For those that are out there working for the Lord and people are getting on your case, thinking that you're not living for the Lord. It says, for God is not righteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Hey, God sees your work. All right, amen. So I hope that was a blessing to you. What I really want us all to take out of this is to follow the Lord with all our might, okay? And in return, you will see God upholdeth you with his right hand. You will experience it. I've experienced it, and I don't ever want it to stop, and I want that for you. Praise God for his upholding.